Well, welcome to the Cannabis Man podcast. Thank you so much for clicking on the show. I'm your host, Don Kleppen. And if this is your first time here, I want to thank you for joining the show. This is a podcast where we're trying to take a journalistic look at all things cannabis. I'm a broadcaster in Chicago. You can hear me do news and traffic on the radio. And I've been a personal cannabis user for about 18 years. And I wanted to combine the thing that I love with the thing that I do. And that's what led me to create this show. And my goal for it was to try and normalize, destigmatize cannabis in my own small way here, but also to speak with experts who are in this very exciting field of legal cannabis, this green frontier, which is expanding every single day. And there are people who are doing excellent research. There are entrepreneurs who are making products and services, which all of us get to try now in legal states. And there are policy makers, there are leaders appointed and elected who are responsible for creating this legal cannabis landscape. And I like talking with all of those people, and I've got such a conversation to share with you later today. Please leave a rating or a review for this podcast. However you're listening to this, if this is on YouTube, if you're checking me out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeart, however you listen to this podcast, there is a way on that platform to rate or review the podcast you're checking out. And I would really appreciate it if you could hit that like button if it's YouTube. And of course, subscribe to the show, whether it's by clicking that subscribe button on YouTube or clicking the support the show link down in the description notes. That'll take you to Buzzsprout, which is the platform I use to publish these episodes, and you can become a subscriber there. I very much appreciate all the support that I've gotten, and if you do become a subscriber, you will get a thank you email shout out from me, as well as your name mentioned in the credits of the next episode. You can always follow the show as well at C-Man Podcast on X and Instagram. It's the Cannabis Man Podcast Facebook page and YouTube channel. And you can always email host@cannabismanpodcast.com if you have any suggestions for any guests that I should speak with, any products that you tried and were just totally wowed by, or something maybe that I brought up that you either agree or disagree with. Any feedback you have on the show, I'd love to hear it. Got a lot to tell you about on today's episode. I've got a few news stories that I think you'll really like to hear about, and I'm going to be talking a lot about terpenes today in this episode. I'm speaking with a researcher with Abstracts Tech, and they have made some really incredible discoveries looking deeply into the cannabis plants. Over the last few years, we have heard a lot about how terpenes are responsible for the various odors, tastes, and sensations that we experience when we ingest cannabis products. Well, my guest today says that the work they've done at Abstracts has identified some new compounds that we never knew about before that actually have more control over those particular sensations. And we're going to get deeply into that later in the episode. And so with that, let's open up this episode of the Cannabis Man Podcast. Hit it!
This is Tommy Chong, and you're listening to the Cannabis Broadcast.
Yeah, that's the stuff right there. Thank you so much for listening to the show. I really love it when people are tuning in every week. However it is that you're enjoying this show, I hope that you can enjoy this time. It's really important, I think, to take a moment. We, all of us, you know, with social media, with the internet, with 24/7 news, and just, you know, the regular stressors of living in life, I think that we all very easily get swept up in the day-to-day. Time seems to pass by pretty quickly, especially when you're staring at a screen for much of the day. And, you know, it's really important, I always say, to really slow down and enjoy the small things in life. You know, being able to just take a breath of fresh air, to be able to enjoy, you know, some cannabis, to be able to spend time with the people that you love. That's the really sweet stuff. That's the stuff you're never going to regret doing as you go through life and when you kind of look back on it and evaluate how you spent your time. those things are always worth doing, and I encourage you to do them whenever you can. Currently, I am recording this in the afternoon, March 21st. It's about 4 o'clock, heading to one of my favorite times of the day, 4:20, and I will step outside and blaze up when that time hits, as I typically do. But for the moment, I'm just sipping on a little bit of water mixed with some Vibations, some of the drink mix products that you may have heard about on last week's episode. They're made by Merimed Inc., and I got to try some of the product. I still have, you know, a bunch of the drink mix packages, and I've just kind of been using them throughout the regular day. If you didn't listen to last week's episode, go ahead and check it out. But these are little mixes that are kind of like Liquid IV or Crystal Light, something that you, a powder that you open the package and you mix it into whatever you're drinking. But it's, these have like 5 milligrams of THC and CBD. Some of them have sugar and caffeine. Some of them just have vitamins and are sugar free. But it's basically a little combination of a high and some energy. And I have been loving these things. This is an unpaid endorsement. I'm just gushing about how much I enjoy them. But I've been using these almost on the daily because I love the midday pick me up that they provide. If you've heard the show before, you know I love cannabis and coffee in the morning. That's a combo that starts my day off right. And when I can do that, I always take the opportunity to. These Vibations have really found a sweet spot in the middle of my day around 1 or 2 o'clock. And they kind of give me a little extra kick that gets me through whatever it is that I'm doing. If it's a work day or if it's just a Monday and I'm kind of working on my own projects and stuff, I find that these Vibations are a really nice midday energy boost. And there's really no come down or anything like that. And definitely something worth trying. So if you haven't already, Vibations are now available at Illinois dispensaries and other states as well. You can head to the website Vibations, Vibations, and there's a store locator. You can find what store nearest you has them. Now let's roll right into the news joint wrap. This is a wrap-up of news and events related to cannabis in and around Illinois, and it's all curated for you by IllinoisNewsJoint.com. Think of it like I do, as the joint you can hit for all your Illinois cannabis news and reviews. And let's start with a topic that I always love to read a headline that is alluding to this. Illinois out-of-state resident cannabis sales boost February totals. The Department of Financial and Professional Regulation announced last week that recreational cannabis sales totals for February got a major kick in the pants thanks to out-of-state resident sales. That category dipped a bit in January, but came back in a big way last month. The total sales for February were $135,571,931. That included $104,507,000 in-state resident sales and $31,064,000 out-of-state resident sales. In February, out-of-state residents purchased cannabis from Illinois to the tune of almost $30 million more than what they bought in January. That is a significant bump. So far in 2024, the reported sales totals are $133,787,753 in January and $135,571,931 in February. Jason Brown of Illinois News Joint breaks down those totals from last year by month a bit further, and there's more details in there if you'd like to check it out. And here's an event I wanted to mention to you. It's the Holding It Down for the Underground, Volume 2. That is set for Saturday, tomorrow, from when this episode comes out. Legacy wasted no time producing its first spring event as spring officially sprung earlier this week. The Spring Bash is scheduled from 6 to 10 p.m. March 23rd. You can get tickets at IllinoisNewsJoint.com. It's at Stash Dispensary and Lounge on 95451. 167th Street in Orland Hills. There will be live performances from local artists and DJs as well as food trucks. Legacy will offer its finest products and sneak peeks of new products that can't be found anywhere else. And Legacy describes the event by saying, quote, "We're rolling out an experience that's all about celebrating our favorite herb, mingling with the best in the biz, and making memories that last." Attendees have to be 21 years and older to enter. You already know that. No alcohol will be served. You can follow Legacy on Instagram at Legacy_IL, as well as on LinkedIn at Legacy Illinois. And you can find at Stash Dispensaries on Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook. You can find out more information about that event in the article here. And then there's a couple of reviews, of course. Wild Cherry Gummy by Dr. Consulter, Hash Burger by Belushi's Farm, and Gary Payton Pre-Roll by Galaxy Labs. And there's a dispensary spotlight, Mystic Greens in Lincoln. All of that is there for you and more at IllinoisNewsJoint.com. I really love this time of year. Spring has officially sprung. We've got March Madness happening right now if you're a fan of sports. Baseball season's just around the corner. Weather is almost warm enough to get out and do some golfing. Anything like that. Outside time is fast approaching. Maybe where you are, the weather's always nice. But here in Chicago, here in the Midwest, winter can be pretty brutal. And so spring, the little peek into the summers that we all love, spring is a very nice reminder of what's just around the corner. And of course, here in Chicago, last weekend, they dyed the river green for St. Paddy's Day. Boy, the city is really packed. I'll tell you, I was mentioning this to my wife. We were in the city. We had reservations. We went to the Starbucks on Michigan Avenue, like sometimes we like to do. And my goodness, was the city just overly packed. I mean, you always forget during the winter just how many people live in this area. And then as soon as the weather gets nice or there's a big event like St. Paddy's, the parades, the river dying, everybody does come back downtown. And man, were there just crowds. We just could not escape them anywhere that we went. But something I kind of noticed, for the first time, it felt to me like St. Paddy's is kind of like Chicago's Mardi Gras. Like, we don't, you know, I know St. Louis, some other places, of course, New Orleans, everyone celebrates the proper Mardi Gras in February. But, you know, in Chicago, we don't have like a big Mardi Gras parade. The bakeries put out punch keys, of course, but, you know, we don't really do any outside events or anything major like that. The dying of the river and St. Paddy's parades, that's like our Mardi Gras. And you've got people, I was down here working doing news for WGN Radio on Lou Manfredini's show, House Smarts. And of course, I'm doing my newscasts, and you know, I get there at like 4:30 in the morning, and my first cast is 5. And I can tell you, I watched the Riverwalk all that morning. The GN building is right there at Columbus and Wacker. We overlook the river, and you can look down and just see Wacker Drive, Columbus, and across the river where people are getting set up to watch the river dying. And these people, these Chicagoans and, you know, suburbanites and everybody who's coming to enjoy this spectacle, some of these people are getting to their spots at like 7 a.m. and they have like full cases of beer or bottles of whatever, and you could tell they are already ready to go if they're not already knee deep in it. And that's just what makes me think of the Mardi Gras thing. The party and the level of it, I mean, this city just turns into a frat house for that St. Paddy's time. And I got myself, I do kind of love it. I don't really partake as much as I used to, but the vibe is definitely something special. And if you haven't been in Chicago for the river dying or the St. Paddy's, I can't recommend it enough, but do expect some crowds. But the reason I bring this up is because St. Paddy's, I think we all like to have a nice cocktail around St. Paddy's or a shamrock shake, what the heck. But there are themed drinks. There are themed consumables that I think all of us look forward to around this time of year as well. My wife and I have a tradition where we'll do Irish car bombs on St. Paddy's. Kind of, you know, you take the Guinness, you take the Jameson, you take the Bailey's, and you kind of, you know, you drop the shot glass right into the pint glass of Guinness, and you shoot it back, and the whole thing somehow comes out tasting like chocolate milk. It's just it's a crazy thing. We love it, but Gretchen is almost 9 months pregnant, so we didn't do the car bombs this year. We found some alternative mocktails to kind of throw back together. She made us both some shamrock shakes at home, which were delicious. They tasted like the real thing. And we also did some kind of like citrusy fizzy bombs and stuff like that. So we went without the alcohol on St. Paddy's properly. But of course, I had like a little bit of a glass of whiskey later that night. Everything was great there. But if you're looking for an Irish car bomb or any other cocktail that maybe you've been craving, you know, maybe last time you were out, you asked for a Manhattan up, you know, with Buffalo Trace nice bourbon, and maybe they didn't have the stuff to make the Manhattan exactly the way you like. Maybe you went out looking for a grasshopper, some alcoholic St. Patty's drink, and nobody had it. Maybe you couldn't find the car bomb that you were looking for, or a margarita, because any time is a good time for a margarita. You know who has these cocktails all the time, just waiting for you to order a bundle? Is Camp Craft Cocktails. That's right. These are high-quality ingredients along with recipe cards that are shipped right to your door. You can have the cocktail you've been craving right now. You can choose whichever spirit you like, if you're a tequila drinker, if you're a gin drinker, if you like whiskey like I do, if you're a rum or vodka person, or if it's zero proof. If you like to make mocktails, there are some really interesting spirits that Camp Craft Cocktails has as well. You can get gift sets if you think somebody else loves to drink a certain drink. You can send them a bundle so that they can make a batch of these cocktails over the course of a month. You can subscribe to Camp Craft Cocktails if you try something that you love and you know that you're going to want to have this regularly. You can subscribe so that a monthly box will be delivered to your door. If you're not sure what you'd like, but you're just in the mood for a cocktail, you just go to the website and you can select certain drinks: aromatic citrus, hibiscus ginger lemon, sangria, pineapple jalapeno margarita, flow rita, and brunch punch. Just a few examples of the many, many options they have on the site. So if a drink sounds good to you right now, or the next time that it does, just scroll down in the description notes and click on the Vouch Store link. It'll take you to the Cannabis Man show page, and you can order your own Camp Craft Cocktails, and they'll be there the next time you're thirsty. Listener, my guest today has some very fascinating information to share with us. He is a part of a company who is doing some in-depth research into cannabis. You know, I've talked a lot on the show about how exciting it is to be alive at this time when cannabis and the acceptance of it, the legalization and normalization, is moving forward, and we're all waiting to hear from the DEA about a potential rescheduling and reclassifying, which will open even more doors. So it's a very exciting time. And as more researchers are looking into the plant, they're finding out even more exciting things about it. And one of the companies that's doing exactly that is Abstracts Tech. And recently, there was a study that they released that identified some previously unknown compounds in cannabis plants. And they say that those are a lot more in control. Those are a lot stronger in controlling the different aromas that differentiate between cannabis strains. So as opposed to terpenes, which is kind of something we've heard about over the last few years. So I'm very fascinated to talk about that with them, the work they've been doing, and more, because there's always more questions that we have about cannabis. So here from Abstracts Tech to talk about all of this is Kevin Kobe, Chief Scientific Officer at Abstracts. Welcome, Kevin.
Hey, Don. Happy to be here.
So like I said, I like to keep these kind of casual, but I like to know about you. So if you can, just tell us a little bit about yourself, your cannabis journey, and kind of how you got started with Abstracts here.
Yeah, absolutely. I grew up in Orange County. I went to UCSB. I studied chemistry. After that, I went and followed the path a lot of people in the industry follow. I went and started off as a trimmer. Then I moved to be an analytical chemist in, you know, one of the QC labs here in California. Then I went to manufacturing with CO2. I got the chance to start building labs in California. I took that chance. And then I started the brands LabPack and Kingpen. I brought all their manufacturing in-house. We won a lot of cannabis cups at that point in time. Post-legalization, 2016, 2017, I started Abstracts with my brother Max Kobe and my other business partner Jack Pete. And, the rest is history from there.
Very cool. And it is a cool journey. It sounds like, I mean, you've been plugged in from the early days, you know, like a lot of us, pre-legalization, kind of that Wild West time before there was any kind of regulation to what was going on here. But I do see on the Abstracts website that you've won 10 cannabis cups. Is that right?
Yeah, more than that. It's probably closer to 15, 16, if you're counting concentrates and vape pens.
Oh man. I mean, that's incredible. Congratulations. And obviously you do know what you're doing. I mean, they don't just give those out to anybody, you know, even though despite what, you know, people may or may not know about the judgings and stuff. So, that obviously speaks to your knowledge of quality, you know, not just in terms of the flower, but different products related to cannabis altogether, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Quality is everything when you get into those cannabis cups.
For sure. So anyway, so you start Abstracts, you know, as you mentioned, and now you guys are, you know, aside from just making, you know, good flower and kind of understanding at a deep level what makes great cannabis products and whatnot, you guys are researching into the plant itself. And one of the reasons I've been so excited to talk with you is because I saw a study recently where you guys identified these compounds that we didn't know about before, because, you know, we talk about pre-legalization and, you know, now we're sitting at a point where we're about 10 years removed from the first state going recreationally legal. And in the last decade, terpenes have been, you know, a major term that's been thrown around. Still not like common knowledge. I'd say, you know, it's bleeding out into the general stoner lexicon, but they're still like, you know, that's been a popular term that's been thrown around. And people are kind of saying that terpenes have a lot of control over the aromas as well as the feelings. But it's based on what you guys have recently found, these new compounds have a lot more control over those things as well. So would you mind talking a little about the new compounds you guys have found?
Yeah. The first paper we published in November 2021, that was The Science of Dank. And that was a discovery of the volatile sulfur compounds in cannabis. And that's the first recording of volatile sulfur compounds in cannabis. Those are otherwise known as like thiols. And the big thing about that is that, you know, everyone talks about terpenes, and terpenes are floral, they're herbal, they're earthy. And, you know, your nose can detect those pretty readily. You know, your nose is very sophisticated. But with these thiols, and only a little bit of these thiols goes a very, very long way. And so, you know, you can detect terpenes in parts per million, but you can detect thiols in your nose in parts per trillion. So what that means is if there's a little bit of it, it goes a long way. And that's what people sometimes think they can smell potency, right? We know that's not the case. You can't smell potency because, you know, THC is not volatile and going in your nose when you're smelling it.
Right.
But people will think that, oh, this super dank OG, this super gassy OG, this must be very potent, right? Which is a positive correlation. If the grower grew it well enough for it to be that pungent, then most likely it will have a high THC content too.
Right. But as you say, that's a correlation, not necessarily a causality, right? Like it's like you can, as you say, you can smell the dankness, you can smell it when it's really pungent, and people think then that it's a higher THC percentage or CBD maybe, but either way, higher cannabinoids, like a higher concentration. But as you say, that's not necessarily the case. They're unrelated, right?
Yeah, exactly. You're starting to see hemp strains out there now with these dank notes, with these gassy and skunky notes. And so it's just you know, progress of the industry, essentially. Most recently, the paper we just published was about all of the exotic factors in cannabis, right? And so, you know, we discovered the dank and the skunky, and that's like half the picture, right? Everyone wanted OG in the 2000s, 2010s.
Right.
And now it's all about exotic, cannabis exotic. And what we found is that the things that make cannabis exotic, again, it's not the terpenes. It is the esters, the alcohols, the heteroaromatics, the aldehydes, and some other VSCs that are new that we also reported on. And so that tangy note, we know that's a thiol. And it's like it's a very sticky compound. It has some substantivity, is what they call it. If you smoke a cigarette, for example, and your clothes smell like a cigarette, that's called substantivity, is if the smell sticks to you. There's some compounds that have that, a lot of compounds that don't. These esters and these alcohols, these heteroaromatics, these aldehydes, these are not meant to be scary words, just classifications in chemistry.
Right.
These things are, you know, they're ethereal, they're light, they're fruity. They add all those notes in cannabis that are not the terpenes. The terpenes are just herbal, they're floral, they're earthy, they're not fruity or ethereal. And then now we have this big trend where everyone's trying to find these, just trying to create these dank, skunky, fruities, fruit strains, like these dank exotics, essentially.
Yeah, totally. I know that, you know, the citrusy, especially, you mentioned fruity and kind of the sweet. I feel like those are really the most popular flavors, you know, that all the states that have legalized, like, that seems like the companies operating there, that seems to be where the focus is developing products that speak to that desire. For whatever reason, it does seem like the fruity and the sweet stuff is selling really good right now.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, it makes sense, right? You'd want a fruity, I mean, everyone likes better flavors at the end of the day. So
yeah,
I would prefer to have a better flavored cannabis than a nut. You know, I don't want my cannabis to essentially like taste like a ground up grass.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Nobody wants to smoke what's in the lawnmower bag. You know what I mean? Like, it's you rather have something like, you know, the fruity pebbles, the kind of orange and lime stuff. You know, that stuff, I totally get the appeal. I definitely lean that way myself. I mean, I'm somebody who, like, I lean towards sativas or I have over the years, and I love when they're especially like floral, fruity, or sweet, kind of the bright, clean smells. Those are the ones that speak to me. That brings me to another point. Something else that I loved that I read, in the studies that you've done and the work that Abstracts is doing is that it's sort of, what I've talked about on the show a lot is that there's an oversimplification of categorizing cannabis compounds as sativa, indica, or hybrid. And we now know that there's hundreds of cannabinoids that go into these plants. We talk about the entourage effect. Now we know that there's terpenes, and now we know that there's these VSCs as well, thanks to the work that you guys have done. So we're just finding out more and more and more, and there's all these different compounds dancing together that are responsible to how we feel when we use these things, and yet we're still just sweeping all new products under these into these three categories. Like, that's all that can exist, the umbrella of sativa, indica, and hybrid. And I just love that you guys are kind of calling that out too, and it seems like we're vastly overdue for like a reimagining of how we categorize these things, right?
Yeah, that's the good fight, right? I know there's a lot of people looking to reclassify these things, but I think there's like it's like almost a tradition at this point for our industry. And everything's so hybridized now that you can squeeze a particular flavor, like a sweet exotic flavor. You can get that out of an indica or a sativa, right? And at the end of the day, the phenotype is, you know, if I'm the inner scientist in me wants to look at it from straight definitions, like objectively, the sativa just describes how it looks when it grows. Is it tall and lanky, or is it short and stubby? So it doesn't correlate with flavor or THC anymore. It used to be many years ago that indicas had higher THC content and sativas had less THC content.
Mm.
And so it used to have those things, and those used to be much more relevant. But, you know, throughout the 90s and even the 80s, like, people just bred up THC to the max in all the phenotypes. So now it's irrelevant now, right? Everything's so hybridized.
Yeah, totally. And I get that. It's a good point. It feels like a tradition. It's almost like, you know, voting, you know what I mean? Like, there's political parties and we've got two of those and people are like, all right, I identify with one or the other. And it's kind of like the same with sativas, indicas. Like, people, it's just been that way for so long that people are like, all right, I'm on team indica or I'm on team sativa. And like, that's just where I live. And it's sort of feels like that's easier as a piece of identity, or like what people just file into their systems of what they like, which I get. I mean, like, it's you know, in some ways, simplicity is a good thing. But, you know, so as you say, like, sativa indica still has an important role when you're classifying how the plants look, right? Like you were just saying, if it's tall, skinny, like, it kind of leans towards sativa, and then, you know, the other for indica. So I do get that. But in terms of, like, when we're on dispensary store shelves and when people are looking for a very specific outcome from using the cannabis, if you're looking to get help sleep, but you don't want any, like, munchies, or you don't want energy, versus if you want energy but not munchies and you don't want to be going down for sleeping or anything, you know, I feel like the classifications and the more data and recategorizing these things, that'll really help people as we move forward into this legal cannabis world to use the products and stick to the brands that they know will elicit the exact response that they're looking for. And that's where I kind of feel like the reclassification can kind of help with that, no?
Yeah, definitely. I see people now when they go shopping for cannabis at the dispensaries that they're looking for a few terpenes that speak to them, right? Like, hey, I know I do well with like D-limonene strains, right?
Right.
Strains that are high in D-limonene. And like, that's a step in the right direction, in my opinion, because people are starting to look beyond just THC. That's positive. I mean, that's progress in my mind.
I agree completely. I think that's ever since that this has kind of started, one of the things I've been most excited about is to not just, you know, kill the stigma and normalize and kind of make it as acceptable as some of the other substances we lean on in society, like alcohol and caffeine and sugar and all that. But not just that, but sort of like with that normalization, you know, the way that we have alcohol baked into our societies, you don't go to any bar or store and just say like, okay, great, I'm looking for alcohol. Everybody has their spirit of choice. Vodka, tequila, whiskey, bourbon, beer, wine, you know, seltzers. There's so many subcategories of this big umbrella of alcohol. And for so long, it's just been weed for so many people. You know, it's just cannabis is just that. And to be able to kind of have these subcategories of people going, as you said, to dispensaries looking for specific terpenes, looking for profiles that they know are going to get them closer to kind of where they want to be instead of just taking the bag of whatever your dealer had and just kind of taking that and being like, hey, this is the best I got. I love that we're getting more of these options now and finding out more of these, you know, about these products from some of the research that's being done at like places like Abstracts. Is that in the future that it is sort of setting up? I think it's very exciting because people want more options in terms of, you know, how they live their lives, right?
Yeah, 100%. I think if you're looking back into prohibition and alcohol, I mean, that's a great example. Is when it just legalized, I don't think you had a choice. You couldn't just walk into BevMo like post prohibition and be like, you know, I feel like beer or whiskey or tequila or something like that today. It's like, hey, you get alcohol.
That's yeah.
It. We got bathtub gin or we got whiskey or moonshine, you know?
Yeah, right. You get what we have in stock, which is only X, Y, or Z. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And so now people get all these choices and they're discovering that, oh, hey, I really like this one. This one's a whole lot different than the one I had, you know, last week or last month. So, you know, I think naturally the consumers are going to start adapting their tastes and figuring out what the difference is. And they're going to realize it's not the THC. They're going to realize that's pretty constant.
This conversation we're having now, it's making me think, like, in terms of these VSCs, the volatile sulfur compounds that Abstracts has discovered, as well as the newer ones, these flavorants, I believe the volatiles that we were talking about that dictate, you know, odors and such. You know, moving forward, it's fascinating. Like, do you think that these VSCs will maybe overtake terpenes in terms of what's most important to people? Like right now they're looking for those in dispensaries, but do you think we'll get to a point where people will be like, all right, I'm looking at the VSCs or I'm looking at the flavorants to determine what I'm going to have?
I think yes, it will happen, but probably not in the way that we're thinking about it today. I think when people go and they buy beer, right? They're like, I want a beer that's fruity. It's not too hoppy. And not too high of an alcohol content, right?
Right.
Or, hey, I want a fruity lager or a light lager, or, hey, I want a really, you know, heavy IPA. And consumers know that from, like, they're describing their experience and understanding what the flavors they like are, and, you know, having brand loyalty to a certain extent. And so I think in the future, and something that we're working on, is making this data much more consumable and friendly for people. So if they know what type of experience they're going to get from a product that they're looking at a shelf on the dispensary, there's more and more need for that today because, you know, there's a huge thing that happened like before and after COVID. Like when I used to go to the dispensary, I used to smell every single flower to see what I wanted. And now when I walk into the dispensary, they're like, oh no, you can't smell it. And I'm like, oh, well, how do I make a decision now?
Totally.
And I'm like, almost, I can only like, well, what's that top shelf one harvested at? That's $80. Like, oh, it was harvested 3 months ago. I'm like, what about that bottom shelf one? They're like, that was harvested, you know, last week. And I was like, okay, well, I want that bottom shelf one then.
Yeah, totally. Totally. It's like, because now I can't go in and smell it and really inform my decision. I'm just going to go based off the harvest date. And I totally agree with you there. I've been preaching that on the show for a while now, where it's like, unfortunately, when you don't get the opportunity to just like smell or really kind of shop with your senses, I think that one of as you just pointed out, the best measure of what's going to be good is when it was harvested, and be like, give me the freshest thing you got.
Yeah, exactly. And the same thing with beer too, man. It's just now that we have an established supply chain, we just don't even think about it anymore. We're working on new things called like an exotic factor. Like, how exotic is this weed? If you're into sweet, fruity flavors, you want a weed that's high on our exotic factor. And that's something we're looking at rolling out nationwide for everybody. You know, if you like your weed like a GMO, garlic, mushroom, onion, that strain, then, you know, we have a savory factor. It's more like garlic, mushroom, or onion, where it's like really, really like elacious, essentially, almost like garlic.
Man,
we have a factor for that as well.
It's so crazy. I mean, I just, even for me, it's like I've been, you know, I'm 18 years into this kind of journey, as you know, just you as a personal user, you know, and then doing this podcast the last few years talking about it. Like, my tastes, like I've said, I kind of lean more toward the energetic, and I love the flavor profile of sweet, citrusy, and like bright and clean and all that. But, you know, with these new products and with the, you know, proliferation of cannabis, we get more options. And I just recently tried my first like motor breath, like gas kind of strain.
Oh, yeah.
And that like was an experience I'd never had before, where it was just like, because it was always the other way. It was always sweet. It was always citrusy. And then to try like, oh, this is named Motor Breath. So I'm like, okay, we'll see how it goes. And to actually feel like I just inhaled something from the gas line, like was crazy. And then you just mentioned garlic, mushroom, and onion, you know, which sounds like a delicious meal, you know, and I'm like, I want to try that. But just this, even the existence of a whole savory profile of a cannabis product, knowing that your nose and your taste buds could like pick up on that. Like, this is the stuff that just, I still get geeked out about in terms of like what's possible in the world of cannabis, you know?
Oh yeah. I mean, currently I'm smoking on like Mimosa Cross GMO from 710, and like that's just both of them smashed together essentially. So you get sweet oranges and elacious tones.
Yeah, it's like a breakfast buffet. You got a breakfast buffet going on there.
Yeah, exactly.
No, that's awesome, really. And I guess you know, one thing I'm interested in too, like, let me just say, you talk about the some of the compounds that you were just mentioning as part of these VSCs. I was really, really floored to even just realize that there was alcohol in, like, as that, and as you say, it's like, it's a word that's just meant to be a chemical classification, but obviously we have like a societal equivalent to what we think of when we say alcohol. And so, you know, I never would have guessed that there was any present in cannabis, but, you know, can you talk a little about like what the role that alcohol plays in terms of these VSCs?
So when you think about alcohol, you're thinking about like ethanol, like what's in my beer and what's in my tequila and what's in my vodka.
Right.
But when I say alcohol, it's a chemical class. So like 3-mercaptohexanol, that's a VSC that has like this dank, gassy, but also like grassy note to it. And so it's in extremely small quantities. And that's, you know, I'm talking about chemistry. I don't want to bore your listeners here, but that's a thiol and also an alcohol.
No, it's fascinating. And again, I bore them all the time. So please just go right ahead, man. And I'm so interested in like, again, like this is the nuance and the nitty gritty of like the details of, you know, the work you guys are doing and kind of the chemical breakdown of what it is we're all putting into our bodies every day. I mean, there is, I get it. There's some degree of being like, hey, I want to keep it simple. For a lot of people, I think it's easier to just be like, oh, as we said, indica, sativa, you know, I like this and that, and I just kind of decide between those two things. But, you know, as we move into this space where it's becoming a bigger part of our lives, it's more normalized and more regulated and stuff, knowing stuff like this, what you're talking about to me is like, I think this is important. It's just going to make for better and more informed decisions from all of us.
That's going to be the hard part, is like, how do we create it in a way that's consumable and, you know, really welcoming, essentially, in a way that someone would find value in that. Well, we also discovered a lot of creamy notes and naphtha notes. I think there's a lot of things going around social media about, like, you know, Skatol and discovery of Skatol, as well as Endol. And those are like those really like off-putting notes, essentially.
Yeah.
People still like, you know, if someone smells a bag of weed and they're like, oh, it smells like baby doo-doo. And you're like, that sounds terrible. And they're like, it's really good. Try it out.
Right. Right. Totally. It always takes me aback. You know, it's always unexpected. Someone's like, hey, this thing that has no positive connotations, it reeks like that, but man, you're going to love it. Trust me. Like, it's just,
yeah,
it's fascinating.
Like one of the only industries people do that in, where it's like, oh, this smells terrible. It's great.
I know. This and like cheese. You know what I mean? It's like, it's weed and it's like cheeses, that it's basically like, oh yeah, your brain is reacting strongly negative and you're going to love it. Trust me.
Yeah. Cheese is a great shout out.
Yeah, for sure. And obviously there are some strains that I think call attention to that stuff. One more thing, if I can, Kevin, what is Abstract working on next? What kind of research are you guys doing right now?
We're always, you know, we're very narrow and deep into cannabis. And so we're continuing to dig deeper and deeper into these genetics. We even like had our own genetics program to kind of breed and see how deep we can go into some cultivars, but now we're expanding out. We're partnering up with a lot of people out there. We partnered with Scherbinski, Josh D. We partnered with 710 just to really like analyze their strains and get down to like, you know, what are the unique parts of these strains? And then how do we like really create this in a way that's welcoming to people? How do we roll this out nationwide so that, you know, wherever you are, you can just go to the dispensary and see what the most exotic cannabis on the shelf is, so you know exactly what you're getting. Like, you don't have to shop by harvest date anymore, essentially.
Yeah, which I love. I think it's so important, and I'm really glad that you guys are doing this. And if I can't, Kevin Kobe, Chief Scientific Officer at Abstracts, I really appreciate you taking the time. I want to ask one last thing. How can people like support or get involved with what Abstracts is doing? If you mentioned that you guys have partnered with some strains, I don't know if you guys have any products or if you have a newsletter or like any, if you take donations, but if people want to support the work you're doing, how can they get involved?
Yeah, go to our website. I believe we have a newsletter. Subscribe to that newsletter. And, you know, if you're a cannabis brand, you got edibles or vape carts or any type of flavor needs, we service all flavor needs, even cannabis beverages. You know, we service all those places. And anytime someone purchases any of our products, we're allocating a good amount of those dollars into R&D to support, you know, these, you know, I want to call them adventures, essentially, into what makes cannabis.
Totally. Yeah, I love that. It's like adventure capitalism, right? Like it's literally that's how I feel about it. And I think that, you know, every adventure needs a guide, and it seems like Abstracts is shaping itself up to be a great guide for all of us as we navigate this new cannabis frontier. It's really, really exciting, and thanks so much for the work that you're doing there. And listener, as you just heard, if you've got any cannabis brand, especially involving flavors or something like that, check out abstractstech.com. And everybody else, we can all subscribe to that newsletter, because this information is definitely worth having. Kevin Kobe, Chief Scientific Officer at Abstracts, thank you for stopping by today.
Yeah, thank you, Don, and thank you to the industry. You know, we wouldn't be here where we are today if it wasn't for the community and for the industry, you know, helping us and supporting us.
Right on. Well said. All right, have a great day, man.
You too. Bye.
And there it is. I want to thank my guest one more time, Kevin Kobe of Abstracts Tech. If you're interested in that work we were talking about that Abstracts is doing, which I think is fascinating, the spelling is ABSTRAX. AbstractsTech.com. And as you heard there, I mean, we've talked so much about terpenes, and I get why. Terpenes have been studied at length over decades, actually. I was just looking into this recently, and terpenes are present in a lot of things other than cannabis. So terpenes are something that are very familiar to the scientific community. But these VSCs that Kevin and the Abstracts team found, they they are not. These are brand new. And it's really fascinating to hear Kevin get into the chemistry there and discuss what it is that dictates the odor, the taste profile, and a lot of these sensations that we experience when we ingest these cannabinoids. And I just personally, I look forward to hearing what Abstracts finds out in the future, because again, this to me, this is the stuff that I think is so fascinating about being alive in this time when cannabis is becoming legalized and normalized. We are getting answers to these questions and we're finding things out that we never knew before. I mean, for so long, as we said, like I talk about on the show all the time, people just, you know, went to a dealer and just got weed. Talking about THC and CBD, even that's relatively recent. Now you get into the discussion of terpenes and being able to imagine going into a dispensary, looking on a nutrition label and finding out exactly what terpenes and what VSCs are in there. So like I've talked about, if you're looking for something specific like, hey, I need help getting to sleep, you look for that CBN. Just as I was discussing with Ryan Crandall last week of MariMed, it's like if you're looking specifically for a little bit of energy and no munchies and stuff like that, THCV, that's your thing. How about the fact that it could be a dietary supplement? Like, not only will you not get the munchies from this, it's the reverse munchies. It'll actually make your appetite for food go away. Forget Ozempic. Just look at your THCV, man. Look for that. Ask for it next time you're at your dispensary. Try that out. I'm certainly going to and kind of see how that goes for me. But the fact that we can have these things, I just love this. The options, the more options, and the ability for us as connoisseurs to be able to have exactly the experience that we're looking for. Know that you can go to a store and get a product that's going to make you feel how you want to feel. That has always been an exciting part of this new cannabis frontier. And on that topic, as I said, I was looking into some terpenes this week, information about terpenes as I was getting prepared for the interview and such. And I also, you may recall, if you've listened to the show for a while now, you may remember my interview with Joe Mazza of Compassionate Clinics of America. I am a big fan of Compassionate Clinics of America. It's one of these companies that helps people get your medical card in the states where they operate and the states where medical cannabis is legalized. They will help you get the paperwork done, get it filed, and get everything you need. They'll get it all done for you, and then you just wait for your medical cannabis card to show up in the mail. And then you're a med patient. And then you get to go into those lines. And you get to, at least here in Illinois, like I've said before, you get to, you know, ditch some of those really hefty taxes that are on the recreational cannabis products. That alone certainly makes it worth doing. But as well as skipping the line, if you go to a somewhat crowded dispensary, something like that, as well as getting the variety of products that are available for medical patients and stuff, it's great. But another thing that's great about Compassionate Clinics of America, they put out a newsletter with some really great information, and I have found myself reading it the last few issues that have come out. And one of their recent issues had a passage about the terpene linalool. Now, I've brought this up on the show before. That is not one that I typically lean toward myself too heavily. I've mentioned I kind of like limonene and pinene. Those are the ones that tend to speak to me in the sativas that I find myself enjoying a lot. When I look into the terpene profiles of those are the two that come up the most for me. But linalool is another one that does pop up from time to time. And what Compassionate Clinics of America says about this terpene is that there's a good chance if you like lavender and have experienced the calming effects of lavender's essential oils, that you have experienced the linalool terpene. Linalool is a minor terpene and monoterpene alcohol in cannabis, alcohol being the chemical category that Kevin was just talking about in the interview. I realize we went over that in the interview, but my brain, when it reads alcohol, again, I think of booze. I'm not thinking of this as a chemist would. And I'm still trying to get over the fact that there are, you know, alcohols, chemical alcohols in cannabis as part of like the thing that just makes the whole thing work. But anyway, linalool is most known for its relaxing and calming effects. Most commonly detected in lavender and found in citrus, birch, coriander, rosewood, and laurels, linalool exists in over 200 plants, and it's been long documented as one of the most popular alternative medicine sleep aids in the world. Linalool is used as a fragrance agent for common personal hygiene products on the market, including soaps, detergents, shampoos, lotions, and shower gels. The scent and flavor of Linalool are a bit difficult to describe. However, many describe Linalool's diverse aroma and flavor as spicy yet sweet, floral yet woodsy, with the slightest hint of citrusy. What are the benefits of Linalool? A lot of research on the terpene as it exists within the plant kingdom. However, much of the research on Linalool is not specific to cannabis. However, since terpenes have been researched in plants other than cannabis, much of what's been learned about them in these other contexts can be applied to the effects of cannabis. So, what can you expect if you buy a cannabis product and you see the terpene Linalool on the label there? Well, if you've tried the lavender essential oils, you know it's mostly a sedative effect. Animal studies have shown that when administered to mice, Linalool produces sedation without a loss of motor function. This newsletter goes on to say Linalool can also help with mood, especially around feelings of anxiety. Another study administered Linalool to mice, leading to decreased anxiety, increased social interaction, and a decrease of aggressive behavior. This study led researchers to believe that this terpene, when inhaled, just like you would through cannabis, it can produce feelings of relaxation and counteract anxiety. Another interesting thing here, Linalool may have a role to play in helping with some of the mood and cognitive issues experienced by those living with Alzheimer's disease, as when used in conjunction with THC, CBD, and the terpenes pinene and limonene, Linalool's effects provides positive mood-altering properties while helping to relieve memory and cognitive deficits. They go on to list other benefits like reducing opioid use and dependence on those. They talk about Linalool's use as an anti-inflammatory. They even go on to describe other studies that show it might have an anti-convulsant properties for those with seizures, antibacterial when combined with limonene and pinene, and it may even be effective against MRSA. If you're interested in some cannabis strains with Linalool, if you don't want to be looking at all the labels, and as we talked about with Kevin, sometimes when you go into dispensaries, you can't before you buy the thing. Some of the names you can look for: Lavender, Lavender Kush, Do-Si-Do's, Amnesia Haze, Fruity Pebbles, LA Confidential, and of course the classic Granddaddy Perp. That's about it for that particular article, but even so, there are more articles in this newsletter, like a definitive guide to Rick Simpson Oil, RSO, which I've certainly talked about on the show, and there's more discussions about terpenes, other common ones aside from Linalool, like the pinene, like the limonene. So I will share a link to this newsletter, and I encourage you to read it. Subscribe through the Compassionate Clinics of America website, mycompassionateclinic.com. One more article that I thought was worth bringing to your attention. This came out yesterday from when I'm recording this. That would be March 20th, which also happens to be my sister Kelly's birthday. Happy birthday, Keeks. Hope you had a great one. But I thought this was worth bringing to your attention, listener. This is from our friends at marijuanamoment.net. And the headline reads, 21 State Attorneys General push Congress to regulate intoxicating hemp products. This is a topic you may remember. I discussed it with the guests I had from S3 Collective. That would be Alina Rodriguez and David Valencourt. They are working right now to establish some federal guidelines, a sort of universal standard for these intoxicating hemp products. If you didn't hear that episode, I suggest you go back and listen to it, because there's a lot of detail in that interview and a lot of good points that Alina brought up as to why this is important. But this article lists some of those too, and the development here, the news part of this, is that attorneys general from 20 states and Washington, D.C. are asking congressional leaders to take action on intoxicating hemp products that became legal through the 2018 Farm Bill. I've talked about that on the show many times. You know, if you've listened, that that's been extended through this year. Normally, they last 5 years. This one has been given a sixth year, and everyone who got into business under protection of this Farm Bill, I think, is probably wondering what the next one is going to entail. But I digress. Federal lawmakers should amend the definition of hemp, they wrote in a letter this week, and clarify that states can take their own measures to regulate the plant and its derivative products. A quote from the letter reads, "As Congress prepares to embark on a new 5-year reauthorization of the Farm Bill, we strongly urge your committees to address the glaring vagueness created in the 2018 Farm Bill that has led to the proliferation of intoxicating hemp products across the nation and challenges to the ability for states and localities to respond to the resulting health and safety crisis. We urge Congress in the strongest possible terms to address this reckless policy." This is led by Indiana Attorney General Todd Rokita and Arkansas Attorney General Tim Griffin, both Republicans, and the letter was addressed to top lawmakers on the House and Senate Agriculture Committees, also signed by bipartisan attorneys general from California, Colorado, Connecticut, Georgia, Hawaii, Iowa, Kansas, Maryland, Minnesota, Missouri, North Carolina, North Dakota, Oregon, Pennsylvania, South Dakota, Tennessee, Virginia, Washington State, and D.C. Now it goes on to get into some of the stuff that we were talking about in my interview with S3 Collective. Upon its passage, the 2018 Farm Bill, quote, "seemed clear at the time its intentions, reintroducing industrial hemp as an agricultural commodity while maintaining existing federal prohibitions on cannabis products and their use." But it goes on, quote, "Bad actors have exploited that reform, and the reality is that this law has unleashed on our states a flood of products that are nothing less than a potent form of cannabis, often in candy form, that's made it attractive to youth and children with staggering levels of potency, no regulation, no oversight, and a limited ability for our offices to rein them in." End quote. The group calls for much needed improvements to the statute that would, quote, "clarify that there's no federal hemp intoxicants loophole," though the letter does not detail how such a statute might be crafted. And I don't find that to be surprising, because I think that's going to be a really tough thing to do given how the 2018 Farm Bill is structured. That really gets at the heart of the issue here, which is to say, you know, it's not fear-mongering to say that these products that you see in these shops that have popped up. I don't know if where you are is anything like Chicago, but around here, there are many CBD, THC vape shops. There are a bunch with neon signs in the window advertising kratom, advertising hemp alternatives to cannabis. And the reason that those have proliferated, as this letter states, is because under that farm bill, cannabis under 0.03% THC is effectively legalized. And so a hemp product can still be intoxicating, even if it doesn't have a high THC percentage. And the real kicker of this is that these alternative products, the ones that don't have above that level of THC in them, they are not subject to the same regulations and the same investigation that cannabis products that do have that level of THC are subject to. Here in Illinois, we have several government bodies that are responsible for looking into these products just like other farmed products. There was a Sun-Times expose last year that talked about bad cannabis products with too much mold, too much mildew, too many issues that brought them below the standard of acceptable to sell on dispensary store shelves. There is no such regulation for these alternative hemp-based products. That is the problem here. That is what's leaving people potentially vulnerable to a reaction or a trip to these products that you had no idea was coming. I am not exaggerating when I say that someone who opens a store like this could draw with a crayon a label on their product and tape it to whatever plastic container they want to hand you. And that they can sell that on their store shelves. That is not an exaggeration. That's the level of freedom that they have under this 2018 Farm Bill. Unless somebody reports them to a government body, even then, just as this letter says from the state's attorneys general, they cannot rein these actors in because there is no such language in the farm bill that gives them the right to involve themselves in these businesses. So I'll leave it there. I'll share this article like I always do in the description notes. I encourage you to click it and read up on this yourself. But this
idea of regulating the hemp-based products, not just cannabinoids here. We're not talking about THC, CBD, all the terpenes, all that stuff that I was just talking about with Kevin, all these things that are very exciting in the legal cannabis space. Imagine that there is sort of a green-lit black market, at least a gray market, where people can sell their homemade whatevers, whether it's edibles, whether it's hemp products, whether it's concentrates, whatever. But the THC, the Delta 8s, the Delta 10s, these sort of substitutes that you've heard about, they are not regulated the same way that THC and CBD products at dispensaries, whether medical or recreational, are regulated at. So that's something to be aware of. If you live in an illegal state and your only options are these Delta 8, Delta 10s, these hemp-based alternatives, just know that You're risking the unknown when you go in there and you buy those things. Again, I get it. It's easy for me to say this here living in a legal state of Illinois now. I understand it's tough, but you know what? My advice, take a drive. There are there are 20 some states which have legalized adult recreational use of cannabis for those 21 and up. If you're over 21 and you're in the U.S., there's a state that's near to you that you can cross the state lines and get yourself some cannabis products. Come here to Illinois. Hop on an Amtrak line. Book a flight. Come to Chicago, especially in the summertime, and get yourself some Illinois cannabis and enjoy that. But I'm telling you, it's so worth it to do that rather than have a terrible experience at the hands of one of these hemp-based alternates. And again, it'll be okay if we do get some regulation like this. I will recommend that those alternates are all of a sudden viable if we have some government regulation of what can be on those store shelves. And the people who open those businesses have to have nutrition labels on them, which accurately show what is in the product, just like we have to do with food, just like we have to do with legal cannabis products on dispensary shelves. There needs to be accountability. There needs to be universal standards, and there need to be measurement sticks, and there need to be consequences if somebody doesn't measure up. This is the work that S3 Collective is doing. This is the stuff that is being worked on in different states. Some states like Colorado have already adopted some S3 standards, and that work is very exciting. And again, I highly encourage you to check out the work of S3 Collective. Go back and listen to that episode with David and Alina if you haven't already. But this letter from these state attorneys general, this notion of needing Congress to regulate the hemp products, I want hemp to be legal. I want these alternatives to be there. But we need the same regulation that regular cannabis products get too. What we don't want to happen is to have somebody die, to have somebody experience some awful side effects from some bathtub gin version of a cannabis alternative at one of these shops. That's what I don't want to happen. So that's I'm off my soapbox now. That's what I wanted to say. I wanted to draw your attention to this push to get Congress to regulate hemp products ahead of whatever the next farm bill for next year and beyond is going to look like. But I got to leave it there for this episode. Really appreciate you tuning in. I hope you enjoyed my interview with Kevin. Look forward to more work that Abstracts is doing. I love finding out more information about cannabis like this and these VSCs that he was talking about, you know, over the terpenes in terms of their control of what we feel and smell and taste regarding cannabis. That's exciting stuff, and I can't wait to see the future of what Abstracts has going on. Be sure to leave a rating or a review for this episode if you haven't already. If you're listening on YouTube, hit that like and subscribe button. And if you'd like, scroll down, hit the support the show link. Go to Buzzsprout and subscribe to the show there. You'll get a thank you email from me, and your name will be read in the credits of the next episode. Really, really love everyone who's reached out so far. You can always follow the show at C-Man Podcast on Twitter and Instagram, or find me on Facebook at the Cannabis Man Podcast page. YouTube channels there as well, and you can email host@cannabismanpodcast.com with any feedback you have on any episode or topic that I've talked about, or any suggestions of guests or topics that you think are worth bringing up. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk next week on the Cannabis Man Podcast. Bye bye.
Cannabis Man is 100% originally crafted by myself, Don Kleppen. Original theme music written and composed by Yusu Kim, a.k.a. Goodson.